This conference will.
Okay.
All
right.
All
good?
Go for it.
Very good. So, as I was saying, in my travels in internet marketing, I know that the thing we've got to do is connect offers with buyers. And the thing that does that is sales copy. And it really boils down to those three pieces. Getting offers in front of buyers is all about getting traffic to web pages that convert. And the problem is sometimes that's really hard. Sometimes you can write copy that will work in the search engines, but it doesn't convert very well. And sometimes you can write copy that converts like gangbusters, but you can't get traffic to the sales page because the copy that you've written isn't conducive to your keywords. And so you start jamming your keywords in there, it messes up your sales copy. And so what I thought would be really valuable to my readers at masonworld.com is to get an expert in here that could really talk about this. Now, I've known Karen for a while. We were chatting before the call. We've been in various forums and at various conferences and so forth together for some time. But Karen is kind of an amazing person in the sense that she's not just an internet marketer with just an interest in internet marketing. She's a person who's been involved in studying advertising, she claims, really since the age of 6 years old, which is really fun. It's someone with a real passion for the kinds of things that make advertising work, and particularly her area of expertise has been writing good SEO copy. And so she's written copy for some of the big boys out there, some Fortune 500 type companies. She's written copy for small websites and everything in between. She's taught seminars for Lynn Terry, and now she's teaching one for me today. She was just recently out in Atlanta teaching in front of 200 or 300 people at the NAMS conference. And so we're really privileged to have you today, Karen. Thanks for coming, and why don't you take it away and tell us all about SEO copy.
Well, I am just very excited to be here because I always love to explain things to folks that maybe don't have the clearest understanding about search engine optimized copy, especially because way back in the days where this got started, SEO copywriting quickly gained a very poor reputation because everybody didn't want copy that sounded like that. Well, SEO copy doesn't have to sound like that. It can be and should be very natural sounding, so much so that if someone with no experience, we'll say, with search engine optimization were to read the copy that you've written, they would have no clue that you've done anything special to it whatsoever. Now, obviously, if you showed me or somebody else that was very familiar with SEO a page of copy, we do this all day long every day, so we would probably be able to pick up on things right away. But your friends, your mom, you know, those folks that really don't have a clue what SEO is or what it does shouldn't be able to tell any difference in the page that's been optimized and a page that has not been optimized. It should be just that natural. And we're going to find out a lot of ways to do that. The first thing that I want to start with is explaining that everything involved with SEO, everything involved with search engine optimization is text-based. It is all about key phrases or generically keywords. For instance, search engines cannot watch a YouTube video and comprehend what's going on in the video. Search engines cannot download and listen to a podcast. Search engines cannot view a flash movie on a website. They can go into the SWIFT file, the .swf file, and extract the text that's in there and read the text. But again, we go back to everything search engine-wise is about text. So from the tags you put behind the scenes on your web pages to the copy that you put on the front of the web page to links that point back to your web pages, it's all about keyword-rich text. So this is why everybody is talking about keywords and what to do with them and where to put them and all sorts of other things that come up when you talk about search engine copywriting. So with that in mind, we want to start with the key phrases, and we'll pretend that you've already done some keyword research. You have this long list of 15, 20 phrases that you may possibly want to use on the particular web page that you're writing copy for. And now it's time to go through the keyword selection process. How do you choose which ones are going to be better for this page? Well, there's lots of different data that can go along with it, from competition levels to search counts and things of that nature. But from a copywriting standpoint, we can look at a couple of different things that will tell us which types of phrases are better matches for the copy that we're getting ready to write. And a lot of this has to do with the buying process. Now, many of you may already be familiar with that. If you aren't, it is a mental process and sometimes a physical process, especially if you're going from store to store physically, that starts off with recognizing that you have a need or a want. And from there, you go into an information gathering phase where you're looking around to see what's what and trying to decide how you want to fill that need or that want. And then you go into an evaluation phase where you are comparing one option to another, trying to narrow some things down, and then eventually you get ready to purchase. So key phrases can actually give you clues about buyer intent. You would not want to put key phrases on a page that has a specific buyer intent. If you are in internet marketing, information products are one of the easiest examples to use. If you have an information product, let's say it's a piece of, well, not an information product. I'll change my mind. I'll use the information product in a minute. Let's say it's a piece of software that does something for you. You would not want to include terms such as learn such and such, learn copywriting, learn bricklaying, learn whatever it is that people are going to learn. Most how-to phrases, not all of them, but most how-to phrases would be out also. How to write copy, how to build a house, how to whatever. The reason is because those two types of phrases almost always, there are exceptions to everything, but almost always those two are going to be for the do-it-yourselfers. Well, the do-it-yourselfers don't want to pay for software that will do it for them. They're trying to learn how to do it themselves. So these types of phrases you look for. When it comes to the need recognition, the want recognition, you will typically find people typing in key phrases that are very broad. If you blew a tire on your pickup truck, I'm in South Carolina, Mark's in Texas, so these are southern examples. But if you you ran over a possum and now you need new tires because you got some possum bones in your tires, but you're going to start your search probably with something very simple unless you have a tire preference, like pickup truck tires or tires for pickup trucks, something to that nature. It's very broad. You're just starting your search. You're trying to find out what your options are and what's available. So if you have pages that you're writing that will approach people who are in the beginning phases of this buying process, you can use those broad terms. Target them in your copy. A lot of people would say, why would I want to do that if they aren't ready to buy? Well, you can lead them through the process to a buying decision, and I'll try to remember to come back and show you an example of that in just a second. When you get to the information gathering phase and also the evaluation phase, you get key phrases that are pretty similar for both of those, and they might include something that has compare in it, compare this to that, compare Goodyear pickup truck tires to, Uniroyal pickup truck tires or something to that effect. You're going to see the terms that have reviews. Lots and lots and lots of phrases out there are being used these days because of the popularity of consumer reviews. And then, complaints is another one, because people want to see if there are a huge amount of complaints. You may even find a lot of recall-type terms in here. Toyota has had a really bad run of luck. So a lot of people that are shopping for cars these days that might previously have considered Toyota may now be looking into complaints against Toyota, recalls against Toyota, things of that nature.
Or just recalls in general, because now they know that that's something that can happen, so they want to know about Hyundai recalls they maybe haven't heard about or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Very good point. So all of that goes into the information. Best is another one with a broad term. Best wireless color printer, or best wireless all-in-one printer, or something to that effect. People are looking. They're getting ideas and information so they can narrow down their decision-making process. And then you get to the part where people are ready to buy. Now, once they get ready to spend that money, they are going to be looking for the answer to the question, who's the best store, which is the best website to buy from. You have to shine in this area when you write your copy and make it crystal clear, but you also have to include the right key phrases, because you can talk all day long about the differentiating points that you offer as opposed to everybody else. You can give free shipping. You can give 24-hour turnaround time. You can offer all these added benefits that no other website is offering. But if you're doing it and you're targeting those very broad terms and people aren't ready to buy yet, it won't make very much of a difference. Maybe in the evaluation phase, it may. They might hold on to your URL, bookmark it or something to that effect and come back to it later. But if you do it too soon, it's really not going to get you what you're looking for. You have to use those right key phrases. So for folks that are getting ready to buy, you might want to consider pulling phrases like specific makes or models of tires, since we're going back to our pickup truck tires. Best price on Goodyear XYZ 123 model tires. Very specific. These are called long tail key phrases because they are laser tight and very long usually. Best Toyota dealership in Charlotte, North Carolina, something to that effect. These are all phrases that people who are ready to whip out their checkbook or their credit card are going to use in order to make that final decision about who to buy from, where to get what they're looking for. So it's really easy to look for these gems when you're going back through the keyword research you've done and pull them out during the keyword selection process. Now,
I have a great example. You want to hear it?
Please.
On one of my early websites is about Elvis. And when looking through doing the keyword mining like you're talking about, I found the keyword Elvis Aaron Presley collectible necktie coupon. That's my favorite long tail keyword.
Oh, my gosh. I think the longest one I had was actually deals with your neck of the woods. I want to say it was Texas Hill Country Luxury Real Estate.
Oh, that's a great one. I'd love to have some of that.
Which is another mouthful. And we'll work on, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good teaser for what's coming later. Actually, I've got a trick to help you get those enormously long key phrases in there without making everybody that reads your copy choke from trying to read it over and over again. So we'll get to that in a minute. But I think I owed an example of taking somebody through the process. If you have broad search terms and you're trying to get ranked for those, but you really want to target the people that are ready to buy, you don't want to waste your time, you can actually lead them through the process with your copy. You can start with the need or the want recognition and those broad search terms, pickup truck tires, or even Goodyear pickup truck tires. Goodyear makes dozens and dozens of types of tires for trucks. And you can work on a page that has to do with that. If you're a reseller for a tire company, Discount Tire, you know, is a nationwide one or something to that. I think you can even get tires off Amazon these days. But you can start a page that talks about what to look for when you purchase pickup truck tires. And you go through and you give not sloppy, off-the-cuff information, but you give some pretty detailed stuff on how to choose tires, how your average Joe Schmo can choose the right tire. Maybe you want to create a little printable worksheet that's branded and has your URL on it that they can print off in a PDF format, and they can use that throughout their entire search process. So the entire time they're looking for pickup truck tires or whatever it may be, you know, glass teapots with infusers or something, whatever it is, they can use your worksheet the entire time, and it keeps your website in front of them. Then at the end of that page, you of course want to link them to some reviews, some comparisons, unbiased reviews. People are getting so savvy these days, and they've really begun to recognize that these websites that only offer positive reviews are full of hooey. And it's really very swayed, and they're probably chock full of affiliate links, and the only reason they're promoting that product is not because it's good, but because they plan to make money. So you need unbiased reviews. It will actually do you a favor if you have a few negative or so-so reviews in there. Perhaps if you're using an Amazon link for whatever it is you're selling, you can pull some reviews, or you can at least give a link to reviews. You can incorporate your affiliate link in with the link to the review page or the review section of the page and give them those. Then you take them through to the final buying process, and you show them this is the best place to buy because you know, you'll get free work, you know, the free download worksheet. Maybe you have another bonus they can get when they make a purchase from your website. You don't have to be like every other affiliate out there or every other internet marketer out there. You need a way to differentiate yourself. So it takes a little more work to convert those broad search terms into paying customers, but once you set up the process, like most other things online, it just repeats itself automatically if you do it correctly. And the way that you write your copy using these different key phrases that fit into the different phases of the buying process will help bring those customers from, I think I might need, to here's my credit card number. How are we doing so far?
Excellent, as far as I'm concerned. So it's really important. I mean, I think the thing that you hit on is really key. And the way I would summarize it is there are different phases of the buying process. You can have copy on your website targeted at those different phases so you can attach to your potential customer at different points during the buying process. And then I imagine what you're going to tell us here in a minute is, and then there are ways that you can optimize your copy so that you can win your, so that your sales copy can win for those keywords.
Absolutely. So we have the key phrases that we're looking for. We know what phase of the buying process we're in. And yes, I know a lot of people are thinking, well, what about if you get visitors from all the different types of buying processes? You will get that. You will. But where you bring them into your site, well, you will be able to control because of the key phrases that you've chosen, whether it's broad terms, whether it's comparative, review-type terms, complaint terms, whether it's very specific makes and models and long-tail phrases. So that gives you a little bit of control over that. So when it comes to actually writing the copy and placing those key phrases all throughout, the common misconception, the common ugly, nasty myth that absolutely refuses to die is that you have to have a particular keyword density ratio when you write search engine optimized copy. Now, if you are unfamiliar with keyword density ratio, I'm actually grateful, and I hesitate to bring up what it is, because I don't want to unleash a can of worms if I don't have to, but it just absolutely, back in 2000 or 2002, let me give you the little Reader's Digest history of this. Everybody that was paying attention in SEO realized that, yes, you had to have other factors involved, linking and coding and navigation and blah, 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 and all the other SEO stuff. But the more times you mentioned a key phrase in your copy, the higher in the rankings you went. Well, imagine that it didn't take Google long to catch on to this, and it was. It was a loophole in their algorithm. They immediately caught on to it and plugged it, and it has been shut tight since 8 or 10 years ago. But just like the myth that all you have to do is put keywords in your keyword tag and your page will rank high, which is another ugly, nasty myth that refuses to die, people still believe that you have to have a particular keyword density ratio when you write SEO copy in order to rank well. The funny thing is, nobody can tell you what the keyword density ratio is. If you ask 604 people, you'll get 604 different answers. Well, it can't be that definitive and that wishy-washy at the same time. But here's the way to prove this to yourself. And I'll also give you some hardcore information here in just a second. But if you go to Google, and in the query box, in the little blank box in the middle of the page is the query field, type in individually, but type in 15, 20 different key phrases, any ones you want, ones you're trying to target, or ones things you were shopping for earlier online or looking for. Find one of these million different free keyword density checkers. Plug in the pages that show up in the top 10 because, of course, if you're going to make it to the top 10, you've got to have the optimal keyword density ratio, right? I mean, that only makes sense. Nobody would be able to make it to the top 10 if they didn't have this magical formula intact. What you will find, if you find anything similar to what I've done in hundreds and hundreds of tests, is that the vast majority of the web pages in the top 10 have less than 1% keyword density ratio. It's a myth. It isn't about volume. It isn't about shoving key phrases everywhere you can possibly get them. Back in 2006, if you know who Matt Cutts is, you recognize that he is the face of Google. Pretty much every YouTube video put out by Google has Matt Cutts' face in it. He's at all the search engine conferences and has a blog that has all this information on it. But here are just a few quotes, direct quotes from Matt Cutts. 2006, from his blog, "I recommend thinking more about words and variants than thinking about keyword density or repeating phrases over and over again." June 2008.
That's pretty clear.
That's pretty clear. Well, we're going to get more clear. June 2008, in an interview that was archived on the SEO Roundtable, this is another direct quote. "You may not believe this, but we tend not to think about keyword density here at Google because our algorithms handle it pretty well. My advice is to pull in an innocent, non-search-related friend and have them read the text. If they start raising their eyebrows, ... which is exactly what I said to begin with. You know, if it sounds stupid, if it's forced and repetitive and it sounds like my 11-year-old nephew wrote it, you've gone too far." And the last quote, this was from October 2008, webmaster chat with Matt. "Keyword density is not really a factor. Yes, keywords should be present in your copy, but density is not important. Include the keywords, but make your writing sound natural." So please, can we put the keyword density myth to bed? You really just don't need to pay attention to it, and it can really ruin your copy if you listen to some of these half-hacked people that tell you you need some obnoxious number like an 8 or a 10% keyword density. I've seen copy written like that, and I've read it, and it's just absolutely awful. Just awful. So, if it's not about volume, what's it about? Where do these key phrases go? grab your pen if you haven't already done so, because here comes the framework, the wireframe I was talking about on the registration page that you went to sign up for this call. And this is going to give you some places to include those key phrases in your copy that are very important. Now, the first place is actually not on your page. It's the title tag. And just as a point of reference, this is not a meta tag. Its name is actually the title tag. This is what shows up in the browser way up in the upper left-hand corner. Usually it's a blue bar if you're using Internet Explorer. And when somebody goes to Google and they search on desktop stapler or whatever it is they're looking for, this is the bold underlined part that will show up in the search results page, the pages that have 1 through 10, and you click to page 2 and you get 11 through 20 and what have you. Excuse me. So you need your key phrase in there. However, this is not just about search engines. The search engines are not going to read the search results page. Human beings are going to read the search results page. So if you put in desktop stapler, desktop staplers, best desktop stapler, discount desktop stapler in your title tag, I'm not going to be too excited about that, because the affiliate below you or the regular website, the e-commerce website below you, has thousands of desktop staplers in stock, free shipping every day. Buy now. Woo! Okay, I'm jumping over you and I'm clicking on their listing because it got to me. It gave me some valuable information that differentiated that site from the other 9 that were on the page. So you have to write for humans. If you have those differentiating points about your website outlined, include one of them or more if there's room in your title tag. Remember that this is your first exposure with these customers. You're trying to persuade them, if this were a brick and mortar world, to come in off the sidewalk and walk through the door into your store. That's what you're doing virtually with a search engine results page listing. So key phrases, absolutely in the title tag. That's an absolute must. This is the most important tag out of every tag there is. But also it needs to relate to the human beings. Now, the description tag. Earlier this year, and I would have to find a link, I don't know it off the top of my head, Google's Webmaster Blog announced, along with every other SEO blog out there who followed shortly behind, announced that Google was no longer using the description tag for ranking purposes, which means you can stuff it full of key phrases if you want to and it won't do you any good whatsoever. They were going to still display the description tag, and there's a marketing reason for this. When I type in desktop stapler into the Google query field, I have that exact term in my head. It's what I chose to call the item I'm looking for, so I'm thinking about it. I'm concentrating on it. Those key phrases are bolded in the description tag, so you want to include them even though you don't get help with the rankings from the description tag any longer, because they're going to make an impression on the people who are looking for what you have to offer.
I just want to amplify this point just a little bit, because it's very important. I mean, there are a couple of really juicy bits in here. One bit is, and this is probably the most important thing, and you can use this over and over again, and I know you do, and this is what you teach. At all times, you have to be willing to put yourself in the shoes of the potential customer or client and look through their eyes and see what they're seeing, whether that's in your search engine results, in your copy, on your website. You have to make it for them, and I know you said that over and over again. But the other thing is, with regard to SEO, your very first conversion is not the conversion on the sales page, it's that conversion in the search engine. And you've got to take the opportunity to write good copy in your description tag that will get someone to click, because I do this all the time. I look at the domain name and I see, you know, this looks like a spam site, or I see the description tag is just jammed with keywords and doesn't make any sense, and I'll skip to the good-looking real site and jump down two levels, you know. So that's a very important point you make. If people don't get anything else out of this call, that's a great thing to take away.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. You've got to do two different audiences, if you will. One of them, and the most important one, is your target customers. And the second one, and the secondary one, is the search engines. We want to write for our customers and then optimize for the search engines, but that always comes as a second priority. Couldn't think of my word there for a minute, but you're absolutely right. So we've got the title tag. That's an absolute must. You've got your description tag. You don't have to put the key phrase in there, but I highly recommend it for reasons that we just talked about. Then the headline of your copy. And this is whether you choose to do it in an H1 tag, and I'm not going to get into that, or if you just choose to make it bold and bigger, which is all an H1 tag is, it just does it for you in a predefined way. Whichever way you choose to do it, it's a really, really good idea to get your key phrase, at least one of your key phrases if you're using more than one on a page, in the headline of the copy. Or if you're doing a blog post or an article, you want to put it in the title of your blog post or your article, whichever one you want to do. Google pays attention to headlines. It is not, underline not, a rankings killer. Marketing Words is my copywriting agency, and we have gotten web pages ranked highly for clients that don't include a key phrase in the headline over and over again. There are several reasons why that sometimes is really difficult to do, and I won't go into those, but it does help you. It's like a double brownie point. So if at all possible, put it in the headline. If it's going to really screw it up and make it sound stupid, don't put it in the headline. It's not going to ruin your page. Never, never, never sacrifice the quality of your copy or your message for the sake of the search engines. It's just not worth it. Body copy. Here's my guideline for including key phrases in the body copy, and it is just a guideline. You will have to use your own judgment, because if you have really short copy, this may not work. If you have really long copy, you may want to do it more. So it just depends. But if you have an average page of somewhere around maybe 350, 400 words, and again, it depends on what type of page it is. If you're doing a sales letter, you're talking more like 3,000 words if it's a really long one. But just for an average web page that you might find on a standard site, 350, 400 words, maybe you want to use your key phrase once or twice per paragraph in addition to your headline. You also want to put it in your subheadlines. Those are good ways. Again, not a rankings killer. If you can't get it in, if you're doing really short copy, you're doing a little squeeze page, or you're doing a pre-sales page, but you still want to try to get it ranked highly, and maybe there's just a tiny bit of copy in there, that may sound like too much. But remember the trick. Get somebody non-search related to read the copy, and if they go, you know, that sounds kind of odd, then adjust it. Google's not looking at volume here. It's more about where you put them than how often you put them. So, let's see, title tag, meta description tag, and that is a meta tag. The keyword tag is also a meta tag, but that's, we already talked about the fact that the keyword tag is useless and has been for at least 10 or 12 years. So we won't go there. Title tag, meta description tag, headline, body copy, subheadlines, anchor text on your own site. And if you have the option of other people linking back to you and you giving them what you'd like the anchor text to say, then do it that way too. But if you have a website that sell, that is all about weddings, for example, on the page about wedding dresses, you may link to a page about wedding veils. Now, the key phrase wedding veils won't do anything for the wedding dresses page. All the link juice, so to call, all the link love is for the page that they are clicking to, not the page the link is on. And if you're unfamiliar with anchor text, this is when you see words that are underlined and clickable. Sometimes it's as easy as click here. Sometimes it may say wedding veils, and you click it and you go to a wedding veils page. All of those are considered anchor text, or it's sometimes also called link text. So these are different places on a page that you can fit your key phrases in. You can also do it in your call to action. If you have a text link with your call to action instead of a button, you can fit it in down there as well. So that would give you a place also. But those are just a few places that you can use the key phrases in a responsible manner so that they don't sound so forced. But let me tell you, gosh, holy cow, it's almost 15 minutes till. We're getting ready to run out of time. So let me tell you quickly the trick I was talking about for the really long key phrases that Mark and I talked about earlier, those long tail key phrases. You can actually break those up, and this is my very, very favorite trick to do. If you don't know, search engines read differently than human beings read, and they pay absolutely no attention to basic punctuation, period, comma, colon, semicolon, things of that nature.
Dash. Yeah, all that stuff. It ignores dashes and everything.
Well, not everything. Not slashes.
Sometimes, well, that's true. Yep.
Sometimes dashes, sometimes not. Not, what do you call the squiggly? The tilde? Is it the tilde?
Right.
The little squiggle thing?
Yep.
That makes a difference. That will skew your key phrase. So just your basic stuff. And my book, Writing with Keywords, goes over all of this. And it has this tip, and it also has 11 more, or 11 total, to keep you from using key phrases the same way. It gives you 11 different ways to do it, and all this cool stuff about punctuation and whatever. But what I do, search engines also ignore line breaks. So you can put part of a key phrase at the end of a sentence in a paragraph, and part of the key phrase as the beginning of the next paragraph, and it's perfectly fine. It gives you a lot more freedom when you realize these cool little tips and tricks. But what you do is you insert punctuation into the middle of the key phrase. So with the, what was it, Texas Hill Country Luxury Real Estate, you could do something to the effect of, all these people love to live in the Texas Hill Country, period. Luxury real estate listings are available today when you contact blah, blah, blah. So your site visitor doesn't see it as Texas Hill Country Luxury Real Estate, but the search engine does because it ignores that period. But when you break it up like that, it results in a mental pause in your human reader so that the next time they see Texas Hill Country Luxury Real Estate, they won't think you keep repeating that obnoxiously long phrase over and over again. You can do it with a comma. You may love living in the Texas Hill Country, comma, luxury real estate, blah, 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 blah. You know, you can break it up all sorts of different ways. So that's one of my favorite ways for getting big key phrases in there that would otherwise sound horrible if you were, you know, had them in the title and the subhead and the copy and the link and all that other stuff like that would look really bad. But that gives you an easy way to do them. So let me make sure that I've covered everything that I set out to cover with this teleclass, which to use, how to choose them, buyer intent. I'm looking at my notes. The awful, horrible, nasty myth of keyword density. The wireframe. I know. Kill it, kill it, kill it. The wireframe. Excuse me. Been talking too long. And how to break up those really long phrases so they do well. I think we're about done, except that I have, if you don't mind, a special offer. For
yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, about your. I was going to ask you about this because there's a lot more to this than what we can cover in an hour, obviously, and you know, it's a lot to take in an hour. So if people want to know more about this kind of thing, where can they find you and what should they go do?
You can find me, the easiest two places to find me are marketingwords.com/blog, and in the upper right-hand corner of that page, you will find a place to get blog updates by email. When you do that, you'll be on my list, and in addition to getting blog updates by email, which include articles that I write and things of that nature, you will also get a free ebook called Copywriting Makeovers that I wrote, and you'll also get a free free target audience analysis discovery worksheet that will help you out a good bit. And in addition to blog updates, every now and then I send an exclusive discount offer, or I have a drawing to win one of my books for free, or if somebody I know has published a book and they sent me some sample copies, maybe I'll give away somebody else's books for free. So you get a little added bonuses there for being a member of the list. But you can also go to facebook.com/marketingwords, and you can like our fan page and do it that way as well. But what I wanted to offer today for everybody on the call, and this is going to be good for the next 48 hours only. I do these discount offers very infrequently, so this is a special deal just for you. You'll get 20% off all of the books that are listed at my copywritingcourse.com website on the order page. And the code for that is Mason20. Mason20. Copywritingcourse.com is the site that houses my step-by-step copywriting course, and that takes you through from beginning to end writing website and search engine optimized copy. It has lessons that are in there. It has practice exercises so that you can practice what you just learned, and then the back has answers and insights section where I show you how I wrote all of the assignments. On the order page, you will also find two other books that I've written, Writing with Keywords, which is where the cool break it up tip came from, and the information about the punctuation and the line breaks. All of that is in Writing with Keywords. And you'll also find how to write successful PPC ads if you're interested in learning how to write AdWords ads or other tiny little ads like that. You'll get 20% off any of them, all of them, whatever you choose to do for the next 48 hours. There are already on the order page, there's already coupon codes up there. This will save you more than those will. So use Mason20, and you'll get a bigger discount than if you use the coupon codes that are on the page already. We've got about 10 minutes. Did you have something to say, or do we have just a minute or two to do a question?
We have a minute or two to do a question. One thing I want to say is thank you, because I can't imagine you could have crammed any more actual valuable content into such a short space, and I hope everyone appreciates just how much valuable stuff is in there, and I certainly do, and I just wanted to say thanks.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. I love it because it's just always refreshing to be able to, A, turn people away from a lot of the bad advice that's out there when it comes to this, and help redeem the otherwise poor reputation that search engine copywriting got. So I'm always glad to do it. Now let's see here on my list of cool buttons to push. I need to unmute everybody, and then I guess whoever talks the loudest will get their question answered. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Okay, let me press these two buttons, and we'll see how it goes. Hang on.
Do we have any questions out there?
Okay. Everybody's afraid to speak up. Or maybe they couldn't. I just saw on the computer that it just now unmuted everybody, so maybe they couldn't speak up. No questions? Okay. I guess not. Nobody wants to talk. Everybody just wants to listen.
Very good. Well, I certainly do appreciate your time, and I hope you have a fantastic day, and I hope everyone enjoyed their hour as much as I enjoyed mine. So thank you so much again, Karen. I really, really do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, and I will catch up with you soon. Have a great day, everybody.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Karen, you still there?
Yep. I was just waiting to see if everybody got off. I am. Well, I hope you think it went well. I do.
I think you do an excellent job. I wish we could have had 3,000 people on the call for you.
Well, maybe you'll get 3,000 people to listen to the playback.
It's funny. Well, there'll be some good excerpts from that I can use in the podcast. So if you'll send me the copy of the recording, I'll have I'll pull some excerpts out and use it when I publish the podcast in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Not a problem. Not a problem
and,
at all.
And, yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll also have some people coming to download the thing. It's funny, I mailed out to about 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting to see, you know, who has time to sit on telecalls and who doesn't. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. So
yeah.
So very good. Well, I appreciate your time very much, and I will now. Do you have a use for? I guess when I take an excerpt out and put it in the podcast, that will get transcribed. Do you have a use for a transcript of that call? Would that be useful for you?
Sure.
Okay, so I will go ahead and have that transcribed and give you a copy of it, and I'm going to have most, you know, whatever part of it included in my podcast transcribed anyway, so I'll just have her do the whole thing.
Okay, that sounds great.
So if you'll send me the recording at your convenience, we'll do it that way.
I will do it. Thanks so much, Mark. I really appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.